Right. It's so funny when you look at your own slides for the first time on the screen, you're like, that is perfect English grammar. Anyways, yeah, what a privilege. Aren't you just amazed at how God touches our hearts when we enter into his presence? I don't know about you, but I was really touched this morning by worship, which is quite interesting because we have this idea. Some of the answers might have been, if you're a charismatic believer, you might be saying, like, worship is singing what we just did. That's worship. And you're not wrong, but it's not only that. So I feel to share this morning, like, just to give us a bit of perspective of what is worship. We have been in church, for some of us, for a while. Some of us haven't been in church. Some of us are new to church. So maybe just to give a bit of background on what is worship. So maybe when you hear the word worship, the thing that comes to mind is like you see some of our Asian brothers bowing down before their statues and their idols and things. Maybe that's worship, because that is also worship, but it's idol worship. And if you can go to that slide of the quote by A.W. Tozer. When I read this, it completely blew my mind, and I was very much in fearful awe of the Lord because of what it says. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. And I thought it was bowing down before an object. This brings it a lot closer to home, right? If we have thoughts about God that are unworthy of him, if we don't know who God is, we are technically worshiping an idol because we need to worship God for who he is. This is why we should read our Bible and pray every day, right? So that we can know who God is. When we know who he is, we can worship him. And he's also asked us to worship him in a specific way. Because he is God, he asks us to worship him in a specific way. So, let me just pray for us quickly. Yes, Father, we thank you this morning that we can be here and we can come together as fellow believers, where we can sing songs of praise to you, where we can ascribe unto you worth, Father. Ascribe unto you your name, who is worthy of all praise. We thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness, for showing us your strength and your power in our lives this year, and how you have led us. We just give you honor and glory, and I just ask that every word that comes out of my mouth this morning that is not from you will fall to the ground, and that your Holy Spirit will lead us in understanding. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture I didn't put up there is John 17, verse 3. I always wondered what it means to have eternal life. A lot of times it thinks like, oh, it's in heaven, and we're going to be in heaven one day with God all the time. And Jesus actually, in John 17, which is a very famous scripture, talks about the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed. And he said the following, and this is eternal life. If you want a clearer definition, that would be it, right? That they know you, talking about God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He's praying this to God. Isn't that amazing? We talk about heaven on earth. Knowing God is eternal life. It's heaven on earth. So, that was a side note, just a little interesting one. I'm going to ask four questions. If you can go to that slide. Just to help us a little bit. Now, I had this picture that I wanted to put up, and my AI skills failed me horribly this morning. But the picture I wanted to show is of a dam that has, when we throw a rock onto a dam and it skips, it makes those little, the waves, ripples. That's the one, thank you. And so this sermon this morning would be like that first rock, that ripple on top of the water, which would be what worship is. We are only scratching the top part of the top part of the surface. This is not an exhaustive list of what it is. I'm just trying to wake us all up again to what it is and caution us in some ways to really focus on what it is and not be deceived. So maybe there's a follow-up, I don't know. So what is worship anyway? A definition that I found about worship that I think is very good is, I don't know if I lost my slides here. It's the awed response. So when we see God, when he is revealed to us, when we see him, our first response in awe would be in awe. Like, if I think about it, the first time that I experienced his presence, I fell down to the ground on my knees because of just experiencing his greatness and his amazing, like, just how big he is and how loving he is. It's overwhelming for our minds. We cannot actually understand it. So in Matthew 4, verse 10, it says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." When we see him, it brings us to a confession. We read in Isaiah 6, that was the where Isaiah had that vision of God. And it's quite an interesting scripture, but I'm going to read for us this first part. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And then I'm going to skip a part. "And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." His presence just like did that. And here's Isaiah's response. "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isn't that our response sometimes when we experience God's presence? I mean, we don't have to be afraid, but we should fear the Lord, right? So, the response that we have when we see God is worship. It can be anything, really. It doesn't have to be a song. It doesn't have to be a word that you say. It could be an expression, but we'll get to the expressions later on. Does it make sense? No. Yes. Right, let's move on. Some of the ways we worship. How do we do it? Okay, cool, I get it. Awesome. How do we worship? I was going to hoping that it would not come up all at once, but okay. We'll get there. I'm not good at this thing yet. So some of the ways that we can worship is, before we come to church on a Sunday, before we do anything really, but specifically referring to today, like as a meeting of the brethren, as we are called to do, we can cultivate his coming with expectation. So that means before we come to church, we already in faith expect to meet with God. If we can cultivate that, if we can cultivate a meeting with God, with our fellow believers, because that's really what we're doing. We're celebrating together what God has done in the week as we sung, "Come and see what God has done." So if we can cultivate that expectation to meet with God before we get here, just imagine what will happen when we meet together. That is something that I've been trusting for a long time, is really just preparing my heart before I get to church, even if I'm not serving on that day. Just to prepare yourself in that sense. Imagine this, you're going, I'm not going to use an example now, but if you're expecting to get something, when you do get it, isn't that like the reward so much better? I'm not saying you must do the better thing, but this is like a good thing. We expect to meet with God. He says in the word that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Right? So if we seek him, if we come with expectation, another word for that is faith, if we come in faith, then he will meet us in that. So one of the things is that we need to be intentional about it. We can come on Sunday and like just wait for the worship leader to lead us into worship. And yeah, sometimes that'll work, but that puts a lot of pressure on people. When we come with that expectation to meet with God and not the people leading us into that, but we're already there because God is with us all the time, right? Do you believe it? I don't believe you. I can't hear you. So we praise God for who he is. How can we praise him if we don't know who he is? Read a Bible and pray every day. We thank him for what he's done. Yeah? Who can thank him? Put up your hand. If there is something, let's make it easy. This year, from January until now, is there something that God has done in your life? Right? So you have something to thank him for. We sing songs of thanks. This is how we enter into his presence as well, when we sing together. But that's just the one expression. Then we serve him. But it's important to realize that we should never serve him before we worship him. We worship first, and from the place of worship, we go out and serve. It's very important that we get this right, because if we do it the other way around, it's going to be a works thing. We're going to constantly be drained because we're trying to do something to gain his approval of us or whatever the thing is. So it's important for us to first worship, acknowledge, see who he is, thank him for what he's done, and then we serve. That's also an expression of worship. And then there are all the external expressions, the physical ones. We sing together, which we did. We make music. We make melody to the Lord. We shout. We dance. Some of us need to learn how to dance. Yes. We clap our hands. We bow down. Weep, shout, thanksgiving, delighting in God. This is a very short list of what else is an expression of worship. So now you can know all of these things. Should I worship? Why should I worship? I mean, worship leader is pretty cool, right? He does a good job. She. Worship team is doing such a good job. Why should I join in on a Sunday? I mean, I can't sing. Have you heard my bad melody? I can just agree in silence, right? No. Jesus said, if you read that scripture in context, Jesus was coming into the Mount of Olives and his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory," when Jesus came in, right? And so the Pharisees were upset and they said, "No, teacher, tell your people to be quiet. They're making a ruckus." And then Jesus told them, "I tell you, if these were silent," his disciples, "the very stones would cry out." So yes, we have that privilege and that opportunity to actually have an expression, even if it sounds not so cool. God doesn't hear that because he doesn't listen to that. He listens to your heart. He sees what's in your heart. And true worship happens in our hearts. We can sing beautifully, but our hearts can be in the wrong place. And then it's not worship. And could be idolatry as well. Jesus also said in that very famous scripture, John 4, with the woman at the well, he said, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming," and in brackets, "it is now here," which means we are living in that time, which is amazing, "when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." So note that the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I'm not going to break that scripture down. That is a whole year's worth of sermon on that scripture, but I really want to emphasize this. The hour is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people. Father is seeking us to worship him. In some ways, I sometimes think that we can say something along the lines, and don't quote me on this, but that he doesn't really want our worship. He wants us to worship. He wants us as the worshipers. He wants us first and then our worship. He doesn't want our worship only. He wants us to worship in that sense. I hope that makes sense because my brain is also on holiday sometimes. My lovely wife would confirm that. Right. We are commanded to worship. The next and last slide. I know it's end of the year, so I'm keeping it short. So, worship leader or lead worshiper? Who is the real worship leader? Am I the worship leader? I was leading the worship this morning, but does that make me the worship leader? As soon as we put that kind of label on someone or that burden on someone as a human being, we are asking them to do way too much. We cannot expect them to carry us there. Yet they do that because there's an anointing resting on them. But God is the one. The Holy Spirit is our worship leader. I don't lead worship. I follow what he's doing. At least I try to. I miss it sometimes, a lot of times. But that's the heart. The heart is to follow him because he's the leader. God does give us human leaders, yes. He does give people specific anointings to walk in these things because we are human, right? We need someone to help us. But he's the one that we all need. We, as worshipers, follow him. And I want to encourage you to really seek him out. Seek the Holy Spirit when you come to church, when you're doing your quiet time, when you are anywhere and everywhere. It says, do all things as if you're doing it unto God. That is your spiritual worship, right? Doing things. Why do I feel like I've missed something? It is God's anointing on the leaders that allows them to help people into enter into worship. I'm not talking about the singing, yet singing is part of it. It's a very powerful thing. The reason it's powerful that I found is that we are all speaking the same words with a melody attached to that, saying the same thing, meaning we are coming in agreement. And there's power in agreement when we're saying the same. That is why worship music that we listen to, worship music, is very important that we know the truth of Scripture, because there is a lot of songs that are not necessarily completely accurate according to Scripture. And so we need to understand what are we saying when we are agreeing with the song that we listen to and that we sing. It's very important because we can become idolaters if we are not worshiping God, the real God, because we do not know who he is. I read that book, well, I tried to at least, The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer, and I read the first chapter up to the second sentence, and then I had to stop because it was too much to bear. It was so incredibly, it's so heavy theologically, but we think about God sometimes like there's a one section of who God is, one part of his personality. He's a loving God, right? He's the author of life. But our human brains are so small, we can't comprehend the sheer size of who God is, the sheer excellence, everything that he is. I mean, just read the Bible from cover to cover and you'll see we do not have a clue. We do not know who God is. Come on, let's be honest. I'm not saying you don't know about God. Yes, we know about God. But we need to grow in relationship with him. And that is part of our worship, is also spending that time with him, worshiping him. We can use singing, but I think there's way much more than just singing. Our actions, when we work, when we're at work, when we're at home, in our families, when we're leading our families, when we're cooking dinner. You know, there's a very famous, or not so famous, but should be famous, guy called Brother Lawrence, who wrote a book, Practicing the Presence of God. And he was a I'm going to probably not quote it right, but he was a monk working in the West, I can't remember now. He was a cook in a monastery that was peeling, he was peeling potatoes on a daily basis, cooking for the other people. And he had the most incredible experiences of God and conversations with God while he was busy cooking food, practicing the presence of God. That is such a mundane thing to do. I mean, putting kids to bed. It can be worship because we're doing it as if we are doing it unto God. Your work that you do, you're all professionals working in industries and whatever. Everywhere you go, you can worship God. It's not just in this room with fellow believers, yet it is important and it's part of it, but it's only part of it. There's so much more to that. So, let us quickly recap. Idolatry is the entertaining of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. Worship is the awed response to seeing God. So how do we do it? We practice. We're going to practice during this holiday time. Invite you to practice. Expecting to meet with God, to cultivate a meeting with God. Then everyone can worship and should worship God. Even if you can't sing, yes. Does it lighten that burden? You wouldn't believe until a couple of years ago, like, I thought that I couldn't sing. I think I still cannot really sing, but how God uses us in our things that we think we cannot do, and He uses us to bring His kingdom. So everyone can worship and should. And just remember who the real worship leader is. It's not the pastor. It's not the worship leader person leading the music. It is the Holy Spirit. So if that's the only thing you remember of today, I would encourage you to keep remembering that part. The real worship leader is the Holy Spirit. And so should all of the leaders follow Him at all times. Not that we get it right. We do fail in that. And that's just reminding us that we are human. But let us pray. Yes, Lord, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, God, for giving us the ability to respond to meeting with you. Thank you for giving us songs this year from our congregation to give and speak the word that you want to speak in our midst. That we can all agree in unity with what you are saying to us, God. I pray your protection over every heart and every mind over this coming season, Lord. We thank you, God, that you go before us and that you are always with us. I pray for a season of rest, a time of rest, not because of going away, but because of entering into your presence daily. Lord, I pray a protection over every heart and every space where every one of us will be. For those that have already gone on holiday, Father, we thank you. We can just declare that. And I also just want to thank you, Father, for meeting us this morning and for touching hearts. Let your name be glorified. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our midst. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. There will be some coffee. So, I think in the coffee room, please.